All right, Claire, good evening. We're back again, but I want you to know that I'm not through yet. We're not through reading because we got more to say concerning David and his kingship, because David plays such a great part. He plays such a great part that it's almost impossible to missed anything. I'm gonna finish reading these scriptures that I never finished. We stopped when David talking about the house that God had blessed him with. And we're gonna see, we're gonna take it from there. Just let me find out what we're gonna take off at. Get your Bibles ready. I still don't know if we're going to get into the notes today. So much good reading. I'm just having fun reading. I'm just having fun reading, class. Just let me get to the scripture that I want to get to. And we're going to take off right there. It's a marvelous thing when you understand authority like David did. And now I can see so much better now that I understand what God is doing. What God is doing with these scriptures. And I thank God for this book and Brother Nee. And the privilege of apostle letting us see what God is doing. Now, I want to start right here. 2 Samuel 15, 19 to 20. This is another set of scripture here. I don't know if you remember the last scripture we read was when it was in 2 Samuel. Six and 16 to 23. I'm sorry, 2 Samuel 7 and 18. When David made this mention here. Then David the king went in and sat before Jehovah. And he said, "Who am I, Lord Jehovah? And what is my house that thou had brought me thus far?" In other words, you were saying his house, you were talking about it, not just his physical house, but some of the family that God given him and what God doing to him. He said, "What have I done that you're so favorable unto me?" Well, it's not what he's done, it's who he was in his heart. God honors your heart. And when God see a heart he can trust, God is moved. When I say, when God see a heart he can trust, it moved God on his throne. So 2 Samuel 15 through 19, we're going to begin reading at the 15th verse. Then said King, but we're going somewhere, class. Remember, we're going somewhere with it. Then said the king of to Ittai, the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return and abide with the king, for thou art a foreigner and also an exile." Return to thy own place. Whereas thou camest out yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go with thy maid? Return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. Now that story, David wanted to go bound. David had escaped. You got to read it for yourself. Read the whole context of the scripture. But we're going to go through it. But David, there's the purpose that happened here. This king wouldn't let David go and fight with him because he was afraid of David. He didn't know if David were going to turn against him during the battle. 2 Samuel 15, 19 through 20. Let's go on a little bit further. Turn, like I'm reading in pieces and bits. But all these scriptures are going to say something to you. Go to 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 14. Now, you read that whole book of 2 Samuel, it's a lot of fighting, a lot of battles, but you can see David in action and God on the throne, and God is being glorified, and God's going to say, I got my man. So go to 2 Samuel 16, 5 through 14, and we're going to read those segments of scripture here. Like I said, it looks like we're reading bits and pieces, Glenn, but we're summing up David's life. We're summing up the high points of David, and so we can see what made David who he was as a leader. And if you can pay close attention, you're gonna find out what that David had that can help make you a good leader. Pay close attention. Pay close attention. These notes that we're going to talk about maybe might be next week after next or next week. But we're going to get it before the school's over. Those notes are going to bring us to what we should be as leaders and as delegated authorities and as those submitted to authority, what we should do and should not do. One of the things we talked about last week, class, don't try to give advice to your leader like Abishai was doing and some of David's men that were close to him and some of these other guys, the two brothers names I couldn't pronounce last week, and how they tried to do David a favor by killing Ishbosheth, David, Saul's son. And so certain things you want to do and certain things the Bible is for. It tell you what to do and tell you what not to do as leader. So it says, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out thence a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came out and cursed still as he came. He just was cussing up a stone. He didn't like David because we're going to find out. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men on his right hand and on his left. David was surrounded by men, but this man was bold enough to just curse David and throw stones at him, pick up rocks and just throw. He just hated David. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, be gone, thou man of blood and base fellow. Jehovah had returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast ran, and Jehovah had delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, that was David's son, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy own mischief, because thou art a man of blood. What they're trying to do now, they, because they didn't like David, they're trying to rise up David's son Absalom to be king in David's stead. But watch what God's going to do. And watch what David's going to do here. And watch how David's going to handle Shimei here. You see it? Now, the average man wouldn't do any of this. But David wasn't average. David had God's heart. David sought time. Took time and sought God. He spent time with God to make all his decisions. You don't just act and respond. Most men would act and respond, but David would not act and respond. Oh, read this whole story. Oh, it just pays to read almost the whole 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you see David's whole ministry and life and his ministry and some of his kingship. Then you go into Chronicles. And tell that I don't miss you, because thou art a man of blood. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, David's right-hand man, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? He could have slew Shimei and killed him right on the spot. The average man would have. He said, this dead dog, he called him, curse my lord, the king. Let me go over, and I pray thee, and take off his head. And he meant that with all his heart, just like he wanted to do Saul. Wanted to put his spear in Saul one time. And the king said, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zerubbabel? Because he cursed, and because Jehovah has said unto him, curse David, who then shall say, wherein hast thou done so? Well, he's saying, look, be mindful. He said, if Jehovah got him cursing me, that's fine. I accept his cursing, and I curse everything he, I accept everything he said. If Jehovah God, I'm doing it. Maybe my time as king is up. I don't know. I'm just trying to find out what to do here. I don't know what Jehovah got in mind. So I don't want to act hastily because I don't know what Jehovah want to do yet. So don't you do nothing hastily. Think you're doing God a favor. Think you're doing me a favor. I don't know what Jehovah want to do. When I find out what Jehovah want to do, I might do something. But right now, I don't know. Maybe Jehovah is cursing me. And so he said, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, he said, behold, my son, who came forth from my bowels, seeking my life, how much more may this Benjamite now do it? He said, my own son coming against me, this Benjamite, he got every right to do it too. He said, let him alone and let him curse, for Jehovah had bidden him. See, he said that because he don't know what God is doing at this particular time. If Jehovah bidden him to do it, he said, let him do it. He said, maybe I did do things that need to be cursed. Or maybe I am cursed. Maybe that I got too much blood on my hand. Maybe I killed too many men. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Jehovah said my time is up. And maybe want to put Absalom on the throne in my place. I don't know. I just don't know, he said. So when he didn't know, you don't act when you don't know. It's a foolish thing to act when you don't know. He said, maybe Jehovah bidden him. It may be that Jehovah will look on the wrong unto me. It may be, maybe Jehovah is judging me, he said. Come on, class, help me. And that Jehovah will requite me good for his cursing of me this day. So David and his men went by the way, and Shimei went alone on the hillside over against him and cursed him as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary, and he refreshed himself there. Man, that takes a lot out of you sometimes. Boy, when you just don't know. And David had to lose his pride before all his men and all his servants. Just think about what David did. All his men, all his servants watching, and how David just stood there and let this man curse him and throw stones at him. And talk about how he was a bloodthirsty man, and just how he just came all against him. It took some kind of men to just stay there and let David and let a man do that to you, and you the king. David had to swallow some pride. David had to forget who he was. And David thought about God more than he thought about himself. A good leader think about God and what God is doing more than he think about himself. The pride or whatever else they might think is wrong. And then, because they don't know what's in Jehovah's mind. David didn't have the whole Bible to read like we think we've got. David didn't have the Holy Spirit guiding him like we think we've got. Like, not think we've got, like we have, if we should listen to him. David didn't have all the direction we had. All David had was his heart to follow. All David had to follow was the time he spent with God. And the time God spent with him. David didn't have all these ways of knowing like we think we have. We just say what the words say. And we just take the scripture. And we try to make the scripture do what we want God to do. And for David was lost of action. He was lost of words. He was lost, didn't know what to do. And he found himself in a very awkward position again. And his men thought he was shamed. Men, everybody was hurting. David was hurting. The people were hurting. They were weary. And they just felt bad. And it sometimes felt worse than if you had been in a battle. When people just slander you like that. Sometimes he just felt it. Class, he felt it. He felt it. Now let's move on again now. Let's move on again. I'm having so fun just reading this about David. Because David is such a great man. Oh, let's go to 2 Samuel 19. 2 Samuel 19. 9 through 15. You're getting better and better, class. 2 Samuel 19, 9 through 15. And all the people were at strife throughout all the land of the tribes of Israel, saying, the king delivered us out of the hand of our enemies, and he saved us out of the hand of the Philistine, and now he fled out of the land from Absalom. Huh. This don't make no sense, he said. Our mighty king done all these things, But yet he gonna flee from the land from Absalom. He wasn't fleeing from Absalom. That's his son. David was fleeing. David was fleeing. I'm trying not to lose my place. David was fleeing, not from Absalom, but David was fleeing, man, because I don't know if God wanted Absalom to be king or not. Maybe God do want Absalom to be king. I don't know. And if that what God want, I don't want getting God away of nothing. So I'm a flee. The men didn't understand all that because they didn't really. When somebody in authority and follow God, you don't always understand what's all totally in his heart. David couldn't respond to them like they want him to respond. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Let's back up now. And now he has fled out of the land from Absalom. And all the people were at strife. Oh, let me start over again. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king delivered us out of the hand of all of our enemies, and he saved us out of the hand of the Philistine, and now he's fleeing out of the land from Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak yet now a word of bringing the king back?" And the king David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, "Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king to bring him to his house. You are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh. Wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? And say you to Amasa, are thou not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually, the room of Joab." And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man. So that they sent unto the king, saying, "Return thou and all thy servants." So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to bring the king over to Jordan. David would not come back home until the people were ready for him. Now, let's go again. We're almost through. I think we're all through. Now, get ready to get some notes, class. We're gonna start off with some of these notes to let you know where we're going with this lesson here, so you can see every point, every book, every scripture we read, bringing another quality of David to the forefront. Another thing that pleased God, before him, and God was pleased, and God marked that as qualities for leadership. Pay close attention now. So in the Old Testament, David became the second person whom God made king. The first king, Saul, had also been set up by him. David was the authority newly raised up by God, the newly anointed of the Lord, whereas Saul was the rejected authority, the one whose anointing was in the past, for the Spirit of God had already left him. Two kings now. Saul, the king, was on the throne with no anointing, and David anointed with no throne. Let us now observe how David was subject to authority, making no attempt to establish his own authority. Now, he brings us all the way back to the first scripture we began to read now. All right? David made no attempt to establish his own authority. He waited for God to secure authority. Now that's the point, class. I don't know how to get around this point here. David waited for authority, waited for God to secure his authority. God always secure authority. In other words, if he call you, you're going to have a butted rod. And when you give you that butted rod, there comes an assignment behind that butted rod. But you must wait until God secure his authority. You cannot go ahead of him and try to do it yourself. He had a lot of temptation. He had a lot of good people that were with him trying to help him. But David waited patiently. And don't let people try to rush you to a place of authority. Don't let people try to make you think that this is the will of God for you. You got to know the will of God for yourself. You got to know God's timing in your heart. You can't be anxious about anything when it comes to following God and being in a position of authority. In 1 Samuel 24, it says down what occurred in Jedi. David cut off Saul's skirt, and his heart smote him because his conscience was extremely sensitive. Now, let's back up here. Now, in Jedi, when in the back of the cave, Saul was resting, and they found found Saul, and the men said, "Lord, Jehovah has delivered Saul up to you." David had a chance to kill him, but no. David said, "Who can touch God's anointed and be blameless?" But what he did, he sent a message to Saul by cutting the skirt or the tip of his kingly royal robe off, you know, with his sword, the same sword he could have killed him with. He cut the tip of his garment off, or Saul's skirt, but his heart smote him. I don't know if you ever had your heart smote you. I'm going to tell you a story. This goes back a little ways. One of our members had lost a family member. And when I went to the hospital, the person passed. They died. And so I stayed with the family all that day until the family went back to the home. And I spent time with them at the home. I'm doing what I believe Apostle wanted me to do. So I stayed with the family. And so by that time, it was a half a day has passed. 5-6 hours I'd been with the family. Anybody ever had one of these hungry headaches? Boy, I had a pounding headache. I hadn't eaten, and man, I was just hurting bad. And just when I was about to give my farewell to the family, Apostle walked through the door. Oh my goodness. You know, he walked in the door. And I know I couldn't leave now. I know I couldn't just let Apostle stay there and not go. No, that would have been so dishonorable. But I was hurting so bad. I never heard that bad in a long time. I was feeling bad. And I said, Apostle, I said, it's okay if I go? He said, Oh yes, son. He said, yeah, but I know you meant no. And sometimes it's a test, but I left anyway, and I was hurting. But when I left, my heart smote me. I understand what smote. I felt like I can't explain it. Deserted my spiritual leader. And I felt bad. And you know, I had to get away from that. I had to go back and apologize. I said, Apostle, I know I should have never left you. I said, I'm sorry, forgive me. But my heart smote me. He said, oh, no, so you didn't do anything wrong. But no, I did something wrong I violated the principle. I should have never left my authority there. But I heard God just had mercy upon me that day. But I never hurt like that. Like I was hurting more spiritually than I hurt physically. But I understand. So that's, I don't know how good example that is, but that's the best I can do right now, class. But my heart smote me. It just was good for me to experience that. And that's something I didn't want. I never did that again. I never left my apostle by himself. You know, when I knew I should have been there with him, it was a lesson God sure found a good time for me to learn it, because you know, I was young, and then I felt it so strong. I said, I don't want to do that no more. And felt like I had cut off Saul's skirt, the king's skirt. And so I understand his heart's moving. But I never forgot that. That'd been almost 30 years ago. Never forgot that. Never forgot. Smote him because his conscience was extremely sensitive. And that's what I always ask God for. I say, God, I want my conscience to be so sensitive that when you speak the softest to me, I want to hear. I want to know when you're talking to me. That's something David had. David had the conscience of a New Testament Christian. God put that in him. So sensitive. So in chapter 26, the Bible tells how David took Saul's spear and draw water away. Now that's another thing we want to remember. You see, he took the spear and the water, but that was one approach he used. But it still was why Brother Nee said it was a political move. Well, why he say political move? He said taking things belonging to Saul, it would be proof of his presence, and he would thus be better to listen to. You see, however, is this the way of an attorney and not the way of a Christian? What do you mean, way of an attorney? Well, attorney got to have proof to prove something. But Christianity is not built upon proof. He said built upon facts. Proof said, look, I've been here, I could have killed you if I really wanted to. But he said, a Christian is concerned with feelings. What do you mean feelings? Respecting people, conscious, not reasoning. He deals with facts, not with evidence. And that was Saul dealt with. Saul was dealing with facts and not evidence. Now, I need to go on a little bit further, but if you excuse me, I need to get my other notes right here. But Christianity deals with facts and not evidence. You don't want to have evidence. Well, not that kind of evidence to prove a point, because God is bigger than that. What I say, Claire? I say God is bigger than that. So, watch this. Let us now observe how David was subject to authority, making no attempt to establish his own authority. Remember that. David made no attempt to establish his own authority. You see, he went for God's security. 1 Samuel 24 sets down what occurred in Engedi. David cut off Saul's skirt and his heart smote him because his conscience was extremely sensitive. Chapter 26 tells us how David took Saul's spear and draw water away. He probably thought that taking these things belonging to Saul would be proof of his presence, and that he would thus be better listened to. This, however, is the way of an attorney, is not the way of a Christian. All right? Now, it is true, David at the first acted like an attorney, but having the feeling of a Christian, his heart could immediately be smitten. Before God, we are people who care for facts and not for politics. Therefore, we do not emphasize procedures. What does that mean? We do not emphasize procedures. You're talking about, it's not a man-made way to do anything. God don't have an A, B, C, and D when it comes to dealing with him. God have one way. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. God always going to impart himself to you to tell you how to treat him. God's going to impart his being to you to tell you how to treat himself, how to minister to him. God even showed how to minister to him, and God showed how to minister to his people, and God showed how to respect authority. David was one who was able to be subject to authority. He never annulled Saul's authority. He simply waited for God to secure his authority. How would you respond? Would you respond like David did? Or would you have went the way of Abishai and some of David's close men that were circled around him? Too many times today, we see authority act more of a traditional or fleshly manner of securing their authority. They go the world way of securing authority and not God's way. And God is never pleased when you go the world's way of achieving authority in a political way. God is not political. God is not built on procedures. God is not mechanical, but God has his will, and that's his way of doing things. Either you're going to submit to his will and his will of doing things, or you're going to be out of his order. And believe it or not, a lot of people are functioning with a title, but with no anointing, because they're out of God's order. Whoever is to be the God's delegated authority must learn not to try to secure authority for himself. Now, we're stressing this over and over again. God used an Old Testament man to bring to us how we should respond. And we got the Holy Ghost. We got Jesus on the other side of the cross. We got the life of God on the inside of us. We got the presence of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And we got revelation knowledge. And still we falter. And still we get confused and get ahead of God and not wait on God. And respond wrongly when it comes to leadership. And don't understand God's ways. Always ask God for direction and his ways of doing things. Authority must be both God's choice and the people's choice, or the church choice. Now, this is a lesson that I stumbled with for a little bit. I didn't quite understand it until I read it over and over and over again. And because it, you know, you think a certain way, but sometimes when you see things God's way, it's totally different how you respond when you see things God's way. Because God always thinks different than what we think. So I'm reading the statement again, and then it helped me to understand it more as I saw it better through the Word of God. He said authority must be both God's choice and the church's choice. You know, when you think about denomination and how people used to have to vote things and go through certain committees to lead, try to find out what the will of God is. But God got a way of doing things. The people have to have your heart, and you got to have the people's heart. That's what he's saying. The people have to have your heart, and you got to have the people's heart when it comes to leadership. And so although the first chapter of 2 Samuel relates how a man slew Saul, David then turned and judged the killer. Why? Because the slayer had violated authority. Why? The slayer had violated authority. The man, they thought he was going to rejoice, but David didn't see this as a triumph. He saw this touching God's authority and God's anointing. Although the violation was not directed against David, he nonetheless judged the matter because it was violation of authority. David understood the violation of authority so well, even though it wasn't concerned, even though the man killed Saul, and didn't, it wasn't like the man killed was after him. The man thought he was doing David a favor, but David saw him dealing with authority. And David took this personal. Even Saul's death, David had to deal with. After Saul's death, David inquired as to what city should he go to. Humanly speaking, David with his army should quickly descend to Jerusalem, for there was the palace. In other words, after Saul's death, David inquired, Lord, where should I go? So normally he said, humanly, he should have went to Jerusalem. You're talking about after David found out Saul was dead and his son Jonathan was dead, he won't know God, what is my next move? You know, David didn't go after the way of men. He should have went, naturally, he should have went straight to Jerusalem and tried to secure Jerusalem and become king over Jerusalem. But no, he asked God what to do. And God said, go to Hebron, the city of Hebron. And so that was the city of Judah. And God set him up there. 7 years David spent in Hebron. And David wasn't in no rest to ascend to the throne. David wasn't in no rest to secure his authority. David did not try to make himself king. David waited and let God do it. You need to wait and let God do whatever you think he's calling you to do. Don't rush what God has for you. What God's hand for you is for you, and God can't use nobody else but you if he calls you. This was a chance not to be missed. Yes, he asked God, and God told him to go to Hebron. Hebron was only a small and insignificant city. David going there proved that he was not trying to snatch authority on his own initiative. He waited to be anointed by the people of God. He did what? He waited to be anointed by the people of God. This is the point I was trying to make. See, authority must be God's choice and the people's choice. You see, David was made king in Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, but he didn't want to go to try to force Jerusalem to take him as king. He wanted to make sure the people had his heart. And because the people don't have your heart, they're going to be against you, not for you. So David didn't go to Hebron until God told him it was time to go to to Jerusalem. God had to get people's heart straight before he went to Jerusalem. So because the kingship couldn't only be David's choice, because David had been trying to force rule these people. People don't like to be forced rule. People like to be loved. And people like to be know that you are God's choice. And David had to prove to the people that he was God's choice. Are you with me, Claire? Are you with me? Because you got to know that you're God's choice. And the people got to know you are God's choice. So therefore, you have to wait until God secures his authority through you. And God has to make sure that the people got your heart. All right? You got to know that the people got your heart. So I dealt with that for a little while because I didn't understand what he was talking about. But the people have to have your heart. However, is the way of before God, we are people who care for fact. No, that's not the point. Let me get back to my notes. Okay. So Hebrew was only a small and insignificant city. David's going there proved that he was not trying to snatch authority on his own initiative. He waited to be anointed by the people of God. Samuel had first anointed him because he was chosen by God. Now Judah anointed him because he was the people's choice. Authority must have both God and the people's heart. Now, Judah made David's king, and David not king over Judah, but God had put him over the whole province. But yet David couldn't take it yet. David couldn't move yet. And then he said, this action, what action are we talking about? This action of David waiting. This action typifies the church making his choices. David could neither oppose nor refuse the people from anointing him. He could not say, since I already have the anointing of God upon me, I do not need your anointing. To be anointed by God is one thing, but to be anointed by the people is another thing. There must be both the church's choice and God's choice. No one can force himself upon others. David did not go up to Jerusalem because he was waiting for God's people to anoint him. He remained in Hebron for 7 years. Claire, that's all as far as I can go today. But I want you to know that God has appointed people in certain positions, and he's given a way of doing things that we must understand his way of doing things, and we should not secure the way of the world to make ourselves authority. Always wait on God and let God do the promoting and the appointing and the putting forward and the taking down and the moving around. Always follow authority. That's why I thank God for a good leader like Apostle. He's teaching us the right way to do these things. So class, you've been a good class, and I'll see you next time.